Welcome to The Brains Behind It, the official podcast of BrainHackers.com. The source for smart strategies to improve your life, one brain hack at a time. In this podcast, we talk to the leaders and innovators behind great organizations and find out the secret to their success. Here's your host, editor-in-chief of BrainHackers.com, and two-time Guinness record holder for memory, Dave Farrow.
Hey there, Brain Hackers. Dave Farrow here. I got a really cool Brains Behind It today. I'm talking to a man by the name of Mark Hardcastle. And aside from having one of the coolest names I've ever heard, the guy comes by it honestly. He actually is going to talk today about how to use essentially a metaphor of music to help improve your life. You don't get what I'm talking about? Well, just stick around. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me on, man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, so tell us about this metaphor for music. You had your mother was a concert pianist and other things that you have, like a musical background, and then you create the self-help book that really uses music as a metaphor.
Yeah, the idea is music has always been a passion of mine since my earliest days. So when it came time to write this book, I wanted to have some level of art involved rather than just a narrative. And the musical metaphor seemed to work real well. I was thinking in terms of how to restore harmony when your world goes out of tune. Everybody has battles, everybody's world goes out of tune, and everybody needs to restore harmony from time to time. So that's the metaphor I chose.
All right, so you had a setback in your life and you got back on the horse and everything. What's your best tip for helping people restore that harmony in their life after their life goes out of tune?
The secret sauce, if you will, is simply stay in the process. Now, for that to work, you got to know what the process is. You got to know where you want to go, how you want to get there, those kinds of things. But then once you figure all that out, yeah, there's going to be setbacks. You're going to fall off the horse, you know, six times. You want to get back on seven. Just stay in the process. Never give up.
So the first lesson is don't quit. Don't give up. But, you know, the other side of the coin is like, if you're on the wrong track, you know, if you're, you know, chasing the white whale, so to speak, and you are going after the exact wrong thing that's not right for you, how do you know it? How do you have the humility to realize that you are on the wrong track and you got to change things?
Well, you know, you're going to have goals and objectives, things you want to accomplish during your time on the planet here. I suggest to everyone that they spend some time thinking about, you know, what do you want to leave when you're done, when you shuffle off this mortal coil? And, you know, life will talk back to you. Life will give you feedback. Your perspective will change over time. And I've got a list of six questions that I fire off to folks who need a little bit of guidance, things to think
through. Give me an example.
And like I said, you know, the first thing is, what do you want to do? Many people would call that a bucket list. And there's a whole lot more to it than just, you know, a bucket list. We could talk all day about that.
What do you want to do with your life? What do you find interesting, right?
Right. And, you know, do I want to take a walk on the Great Wall of China? Do I want to stand underneath the Eiffel Tower? Do I want to sip a drink out of a pineapple in the Hawaiian Islands?
What if my thing is I want to be known for being a genius that changed the world, or I want to change the world, some big grand thing that might be beyond my capability? I'm wondering, when does being realistic come in, if at all?
Well, you know, that's a tough question, Dave. I mean, I don't want to put limitations on anybody.
But you're the expert, though. If I'm, that's what we're trying to figure out, is the tough questions here. If I want to accomplish something, and maybe my reach exceeds my perspective on this is that my reach has exceeded my grasp most of my life, and that's why I'm where I am. I constantly feel like I haven't achieved what I wanted to achieve yet. When I look around, I've achieved, you know, 10 times more than most of my peers.
Exactly. So I think it was Michelangelo said that the greater danger is not that we aim too high. The greater danger is that we aim too low and hit the mark. So, you know, I'm always encouraging people to stretch, to aim higher, to have bigger goals. when do you figure that you're not going to be the next Albert Einstein? I don't know. If I want to be the next Albert Einstein, it's like you say, I keep working in that direction, and I wind up being a lot smarter than I ever could have been if I'd have just wanted to be, you know, Joe the Ragman down the street.
And he worked in the U.S. Patent Office for ages. People had pretty much forgotten him as a scientist for the longest time while he was working on his work. Kind of reminds me of the story of Icarus, you know, where everybody thinks, oh, yeah. Oh, the story of Icarus is a cautionary tale of aiming too high. You get too close to the sun and it melts the wax. But they don't remember that the original story is actually the first warning is don't go too low, because if you touch the water, you'll crash too. It's a matter of going high and just high enough.
Yeah. So I have a delayed gratification goal. I am a hobbyist as a musical conductor. Like I've told you before, my primary gig is airline captain. But before I'm done, I am going to get a sheepskin that says that I am an official musical conductor. I'm going to get a degree. I've been wanting to do that for all my life. There have been other goals, intermediate goals, that have I've chosen to pursue in the short term. But when I finish being an airline pilot by law at age 65, that's going to be the first thing I do. Would I like to have done that already? Absolutely. But that's always out there. There's always another goal for me so that I can accomplish as much as I can during my time here on the planet. So how do you know when you're – who knows? When I'm 65, I may find another idea that I want to pursue more than a conductor's degree. Wherever your passion lies, wherever your heart is at a given time is the direction I would suggest you go. And those six questions that I have as a framework will work at every phase of life, no matter where you're going, what you're doing.
Is it a matter of like, this is kind of a formula to not have regrets when you're old, you know, and at the end of your life, looking back to not regret not having tried something? Is that a big part of it?
Well, not having a regret would be a secondary goal to me. You know, you've heard the stories, the regrets of the dying. There, people have documented this stuff that people regret not having done things more than having done things and made mistakes. And that's that's all true. That's all true. But that's not my primary motivation for anything that I do. And I wouldn't tell anybody to make that their primary motivation. Figure out what you want to do and then just go for it.
Okay, I saw that funny thing, completely off topic. But I think I was like 11 or 12. I think I was 12 years old, but I looked bigger than a 12-year-old, obviously. And when I tell you the context, it'll make sense. We're in a nursing home visiting grandmother, and it was like basically this old guy, you know, pulls me aside, and he said, "Listen, if you don't want to have any regrets in life, just do it as often as you can until it doesn't work anymore." And I was like 12, 13. I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. Obviously, when I'm older, I realized he was talking about sex. But it was just hilarious that was his big thing. Like, just do it. It was like the most important thing. And I remember walking out of there like thinking that Nike was right. I should just do it. Like, whatever I got to do, I should just, like, I took it totally altruistically, and I didn't even see the dirty old man part of it. But I just thought that was funny, kind of what you were saying, you know, like not having regrets later on in life.
Yeah, you just do it works. It's a great slogan. You know, it's worked for Nike for what, 30 years? And yeah, I mean, if that's the way you want to run your life, where you want to make sure you don't have regrets, that's noble. That's worthy. Yeah.
And I hope my funny story helps people. Some people remember that, so maybe when it's time to remember it. But you don't think of that whole like looking back on your life type thing as a good motivation. You just want to like live in the moment.
Look forward. There are plenty of things that we learn from our past, and what I would suggest is when you have challenges that you ultimately work through. Sometimes they work out the way you want. Sometimes they don't work out so well. Mm-hmm. But what that experience does is that it gives us, we learn from that. It gives us a tool to put in our tool bag for the next challenge that we have. And by the time someone gets to be your age or my age, we've all lived through a whole bunch of challenges. So what that tells me is we have the wherewithal within us to figure out how to make it through the next challenge. And so when the next challenge comes, we just go back into that tool bag and take things from our past that we can use. But I don't live looking backwards. I live looking forwards. Mm-hmm. What's the next thing I want to do? What's the next challenge out there that I want to accomplish?
Is that your message to younger people then that are just starting out to look forward and that it does get better? You do figure this game of life out as you go along and you've got to make mistakes. I've noticed a lot of people just terrified of making mistakes. Do you think that's one of the best lessons, that you've got to make mistakes to get ahead?
Well, yeah, if you're not making a mistake, you're not learning. It's like being on a ski slope. If you're not falling, you're not learning. It's riding a mountain bike. If you're not bleeding, you're not learning. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get good at something, you got to stretch. You got to go outside your, forgive the cliche, outside your comfort zone. But it's like you said a while ago, the quote that you used is actually in my high school yearbook. A man's reach should exceed his grasp, else what's a heaven for? And that's it. So the real challenge is figuring out, what is it that you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to be? What's your legacy going to be? Those kinds of things.
How do you balance wanting to make money from wanting to accomplish something? What if you say that, your big dream was travel the world and see all these different cultures? That costs money. It doesn't make money. I've got this great opportunity to go work on Wall Street, and I might not love the job, but it'll be, okay, but I'll make all this money. How do you suggest people make those decisions?
That's a choice. You can't do everything at once. So it's a decision you have to make, and you live with it. It's part of adulting. Do you want to make a lot of money, or do you want to see things, or can you find a way to do both? They are not mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm. The yardstick for me is I want to do well while doing good. And they are not mutually exclusive at all. I do okay in my current career. Many of your listeners, you probably don't understand, airline pilots are required by law to retire at age 65. Well, I'm not going to be done
really?
At that point.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Why are they required by law?
It's an anachronism from days gone by when, airline pilots lived hard and fast and smoked a lot, drank a lot, and ate too much. By the time they were 60.
You were burned out by then.
Yeah, exactly. And we live differently now. So that was a few years ago, it was raised to 65. They'll probably raise it to 67 sometime in the next few years because there's a looming pilot shortage in the industry. But the point is that whenever I'm required to retire, I'm not going to be done yet. I'm going to have another good 20, 25, 30 years that I can be productive. And that's where the author, speaker gig is going to kick in and launch. It's well underway now. I'm building it out such that I can continue to have the lifestyle that the airline world gives me, maybe even better as it builds out. And at the same time, though, I want it to be meaningful. Viktor Frankl said many years ago, it's all about a search for meaning. And we all want to have meaningful work. So we want to do well while doing good. So that would be
what I
would.
I got that book right here, Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning.
Love that book. I've got it on my shelf as well. So you know what I'm talking about then.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That, throw me another false dichotomy, Dave.
Yeah, well, no, it's true. It's true. That's why, some of these things are cliches, but they're that way for a reason. I can tell you a lot of times in my business life, I didn't necessarily, everything I got into business for was not necessarily my passion, but I didn't hate it. I had a passion for business, right. Reminds me of Mike Rowe, where he talks about dirty jobs, and he says that he went across the country and he was more surprised that he found more people sucking out septic tanks that were multimillionaires just because nobody else would do the job, And they started with one truck and now they've got 64 trucks and they're all across the East Coast and stuff like that. And it's nobody grows up going, gee, I really for a living, I want to, suck out septic tanks. But he was encountering all these really successful people, but they found, was their vehicle.
I had the great good fortune when I was in college to have an econ professor said, okay, you want to make money, find a job that nobody else wants to do. Mm. Find something that has to be done that nobody else wants to do. That's where the money is. So, that makes sense, right?
That's true.
You don't want to suck out a septic tank, okay, charge a lot of money when somebody needs to have that done, and you can make a lot of money doing it.
And they do, I'm sure. If anybody's in the porta potty business, you know what I'm talking about. it's really cool. It's really cool. Okay, so finally, give us one final tip here as we're wrapping up as to how somebody can set goals and achieve them.
Right. So just real fast, figure out what you want to do, figure out what you want to be. figure out how you want to spend your time, with whom you want to spend your time. And that's just the dream, the big, and then figure out how to do it. We now have in our phone how to do anything, begin the process, and then stay in the process. Never give up.
Awesome. Well, how do we also make a symphony out of it? How do we find harmony in life, you know, like that work-life balance?
Well, again, it's going to be the kind of, life is going to give you feedback. As you enter into this process, you're going to get pushback from different directions, and mm-hmm. those are going to give you guidance. And then you have a choice to make. All along the way, there are these choices to give you guidance as to where you want to be, where you want to be going at any particular time, and be sensitive to that. Your heart, your gut will give you guidance as you go forward.
I always used to say that I would rather fail with my own plan than succeed with someone else's. But in the back of my mind, I was always thinking, well, if I fail with somebody else's plan, I'll always doubt whether or not I should have gone with my own. But if I try what I want to do and I still fail, well, there's still a little satisfaction to know that, hey, you know, I gave it a shot. I don't have any regrets, you know?
Yeah, well, that's something that Jim Carrey taught us. You know, he talked about his father who chose to have a safe job and then got fired out of it. So Jim Carrey says, you know, why not fail at something I love? Make a choice to go out and do what you want to do. You could fail at anything. Yep. So why not fail having fun and then learn?
and now he's one of the world's wealthiest, socialists, I guess, is where it came in, and anti-vaxxers. Yeah. There's a lot we could unpack with that, but I love my fellow Canadian. I want to thank you very much for being on the show, and tell us the title of your book so they can find it.
You bet, Dave. It's been fun. Thanks for having me on. My book is called The Symphony of Your Life: Restoring Harmony When Your World Is Out of Tune. It's available on Amazon. You can get it in hardcover. You can get it in any, whatever your favorite e-version is. And awesome. Yeah, they're really fine.
And if anybody wants to find out more, they can click the link. Thanks very much for being on the show.
Dave, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for listening to The Brains Behind It. And remember to check out brainhackers.com for more. If you have a suggestion for the next interview or comment, please email editor@brainhackers.com. If you want a free 30-minute marketing consultation from Dave Farrow and his team, then email editor@brainhackers.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.